You're listening to Chainleak, the crypto news podcast with your host, Joshua Roomsburg. Follow and subscribe today.
Welcome to the Chainleak podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Roomsburg. Today's episode is about building AI DApps in Web3, presented by AuriChain, with special guest Tyree Robinson. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to get into the intersection of blockchain and AI. So to get this started, could you give us a breakdown of what that looks like for the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, there are just so many use cases for AI and Web3. We have people that are working on decentralized compute. We have people that are working on decentralized training for AI models. And then you have people like us that are working on that last mile, delivering that AI data to users, to smart contracts, and to regular apps on blockchain infrastructure.
When you look around the industry, what do you feel are the top three use cases for AI and blockchain?
Right now, it's kind of crazy, right? So AI in blockchain, we have a lot of people that are building trading strategies, DeFi strategies. That stuff's really exciting. We have content creation. So we've got people doing AI-generated NFT content, and that's really great. And then there's a lot of awesome ways that we see people actually using AI to be able to query the blockchain itself, right? And be able to search the blockchain more easily, human language input. So that's improving user experience ultimately for all of our new users in the space. So that ends up being a really great use case.
That's a unique aspect as well. While you were explaining that, is the same way ChatGPT can scrape a website for all the data within that website, you're saying that there is the potential for AI to scrape different blockchain explorers for different anomalies?
So this is actually one of the first earlier use cases that we've seen since the big wave of large language models in the past few months, right? I think that it was Solana was the first person to actually create a GPT plugin for their blockchain, right? So people were actually able to use that plugin to be able to go in and query that blockchain, type in, you know what I mean, looking for transactions, a new NFT drop, opportunities like that, search for on-chain events. It makes it an easier experience for people because, as you know, looking at blockchains, that's like, it's a foreign language to a lot of people, right? So I think a lot of people are scared off by the technical aspect of sort of blockchain explorers.
When you look at what AuriChain is building out and you compare it to other use cases within the industry, how do you feel you guys stack up compared to other projects that are building out?
Yeah, so I think that everybody that's working on AI in the space right now is working on their own little section. Like I mentioned before, you've got people like Akash and Render that are dealing with decentralized compute, right? Being able to use a bunch of different servers to be able to streamline the cost and lower the cost of that computing power. And that's really awesome. Love what they're doing on that side. You have projects like OpenTensor that are making it easy for people to train and democratize AI models. That's really great. Now, our project is sort of that last mile, right? So both the delivery of those AI services through our unique AI Oracle system and also those safety checks in that sort of last mile to make sure that all of those AI models are functioning with transparency for end users and business models that want to integrate with AI.
When it comes to AI services and the functionality, when we look, say, 5 years down the line, would an end user know they are using AI technology, or is it something that would be behind the scenes that wouldn't necessarily be seen?
You know, this is funny because in my dream world, we stop talking about blockchain, we stop talking about AI, and we get to a point where the user is getting value, right? That's the ultimate goal here, is that we don't want to keep harping on the technology and pushing it in people's faces, because as we know, like, you know, I got parents, you got parents, our parents, they don't necessarily get the ins and outs of all these new technology, but what they might understand is that value that they're getting, that service that they're looking for, being able to actually go in and put your money into a yield farm shouldn't be, you know, 8,000 clicks, 10 wallets. And, you know, so ultimately, yeah, I think that AI and blockchain, for it to be really successful and adopted widely, it needs to fade to the background, right? Developers have to stop pushing the tech in people's faces and start thinking about that user experience and putting that first.
Okay, now let's pivot to Ori Chain specifically. Let's detail some of the products you guys are building out and some of the different use cases when an end user looks into Ori Chain.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess to start out, it's most valued to start at sort of a broad level, right? So we're a layer one for AI and the data economy. That's where we start, right? So just like Ethereum, anybody can come and build on our network. You can build your own applications on our network. Now, what we actually have is a number of modules that are optimized specifically for AI-infused dApps, right? So we've got people right now building healthcare apps, decentralized science apps, education technology apps, a lot of different things outside of your normal Web3 sort of DeFi use cases. And we have some of those too, of course. But, you know, what's really exciting is when you get the data infrastructure in place and you put that at sort of the center of your mission, it really opens you up to a wider variety of applications that real world people will actually need, that real institutions might actually care about. So that's the core piece, right? Is that we're a layer one. And then optimized inside, we have a number of different unique pieces, right? So we've got decentralized file storage. We've got our AI Oracle. We've got data marketplaces and AI marketplaces. And then a lot of the things that a lot of people in the DeFi space are used to, NFT marketplaces, lending protocols, exchanges, and things like that on our network.
When you guys look to the future, could you see different, I don't know if it would be a project or different aspects within Ori Chain specifically, but could you see the use of alternative applications that host these dApps? Is that anything you could see, like going to the App Store or Google Play in the future, or downloading different Chrome extensions that are specifically for dApps?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Look, we're at a time right now where it feels very fringe still, right? In order to like know about a blockchain project, somebody had to tell you about it. You had to stumble across it on Twitter, right? And so the future of this, it looks like a much straighter line to find the value that you're looking for. One of the great things that I think Ori Chain has done has really been beginning to put that mobile experience first, right? So you've got 70% of internet traffic are primarily mobile users. It's coming through people's cell phones, iPads, and things like that. And in our ecosystem, we have OWallet, which is our primary touch point to the ecosystem, where you can go in and you can access all of those dApps. And OWallet is available both for Android and iOS and the app stores over there. So, you know, that will be a really easy primary touch point to get into the ecosystem. And then from there, you find all of the applications, you can explore it, transact on there, and actually be able to do something with blockchain and not feel like you're bound to your desktop.
Do you guys have a Chrome extension as well for OWallet?
Yes, we do. Yep. Yeah. And something really special.
You didn't mention that when he was rolling through them.
I always forget. Yeah. But what's interesting about OWallet, you know, a lot of people are used to MetaMask, right? MetaMask is all of these EVM chains. And then in the Cosmos side, you've got all of the IBC chains over on Kepler Wallet, you know, or Cosmos Station. OWallet is both, right? So OWallet is very unique in that we both allow transactions on IBC and on EVM chains, right? So you can interact with basically the entire blockchain ecosystem all from one place rather than need to manage multiple wallets for that.
Okay, so another aspect with that, with the compatibility, I also read there's a Ori Chain Bridge as well. Could you speak on that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ori Chain Bridge has gone through a number of different iterations over the past couple of years. And where we've landed right now is it's a very decentralized bridge. It's got its own subnetwork with its own validators on it. And it allows people to move tokens back and forth between both Ethereum and EVM chains and Ori Chain mainnet, right? So currently, we support connections between Ethereum, Binance Smart Chain, and Tron network over to Ori Chain. And we're also an IBC-enabled network. So you can use that same bridge to be able to move tokens through IBC relayers to Osmosis, the Cosmos Hub, and hopefully very many more. For those that aren't familiar with Cosmos, Cosmos is a network of sovereign chains. And currently, there's about 80 different blockchain networks within the Cosmos ecosystem in different stages of development that are all connected by IBC, which is a very safe. It's one of the safest. You can't even call it a bridge, but, you know, it's one of the safest ways to move assets across networks.
Okay. When it comes to data availability and a digital economy, let's talk about the Ori Chain digital economy that engulfs the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a great product called Dino Hub. Dino Hub is our data intelligence and Oracle hub. It's the place where all of the AI models live, the data lives, both on-chain and off-chain data can be stored there, as well as there's a number of tools for people to be able to label their data and organize it for use in AI models, right? So we started off in the very beginning with bringing the AI models into the marketplace. We have about 120 AI models currently in that marketplace. Anybody that's an AI developer can go in there right now and be able to bring their AI models on and have them checked and run through our AI Oracle, published to the Oracle very easily. And just this past week, actually, we launched our data marketplace. And the data marketplace allows anybody to be able to publish data sets and monetize those data sets directly on the Dino Hub. What's really great about that is that whether you're an individual business or you're a data broker, or you are have an idea for a decentralized application that is built specifically to allow people to monetize their data, this is your way to do it, right? So we've had some awesome community members come up with ideas recently. One of them said, I want to start a data union. And that data union is going to let people collect all their data from Google and Amazon and Spotify and Netflix and store it and monetize it in data sets through that union. Ultimately, those data sets goes over to Dino Hub's data marketplace.
That was the next thing I was going to ask is what types of data could an end user put into the data economy?
Yeah. So right now it's very open, right? So you've got some really great protocols dealing with on-chain data. You've got people like the Graph, you know, indexing blockchains and being able to provide all of that data right at people's fingertips to be able to build with. What's really interesting about our product is that data marketplace allows people to access all kinds of data, right? It's not limited to only on-chain events, right? So if people want to come in right now, we have healthcare data sets, we have art data sets. We've got a lot of different use cases. I was speaking with a project not too long ago that is a decentralized browser. And they said, I want to help my users be able to actually monetize their browsing data to advertisers. Can Dino Hub do that? Ooh, and the answer is yes, right? So I always think advertising is a really great way to look at it, right? You've got billions of dollars coming into the advertising industry every year, right? Where does that go? Yep. It goes to the advertising provider and to the publisher, the person that actually is hosting that website. None of that trickles down to the people that are contributing their data that actually make that model valuable. And this little piece of infrastructure enables that new paradigm shift, right? Where people might actually be able to participate in that data economy more actively.
What would it look like for a developer to tie into that ecosystem and build out infrastructure?
Yeah. So right now we have a couple of different pathways, right? Obviously, I'm happy. I'm going to share all my documentation with you so you can throw it in the links. But we're a CosmWasm-based chain. We also have EVM subnetworks. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're in the Web3 space, we basically are carrying, you know, most of the builders in the space are either building in Solidity or Rust. So you can come and build your dApps on a Rye chain right away. Lots of documentation about publishing to the AI Oracle that's available to you. Now, if you're a builder and you're looking to join a Rye chain, we have a number of options to support you. We have incubation. We have an accelerator program. We also have a number of hackathons. We've had two hackathons in the past 2 years so far, which have yielded five projects that are now live on mainnet. And we've had sort of 16 finalists there that have built MVPs on our testnet. So that's really great. We also have a big hackathon that we're doing later this year to be announced with our partners over at Dora Hacks. Now, Dora Hacks is a community of 60,000 developers. And we're one of the first projects that are going to be out there specifically focusing on AI-infused dApps. So if you've got your ideas, okay, you want to go and build something, join our community. There's lots of ways to engage. You know, love to have as many builders here as possible.
Now, another aspect to the ORI chain are Oracle services. Can we go into that a little bit and what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of different really unique oracles that I think are valuable to people right today, right now. So like every other Oracle provider, we've got price feeds, right? And for those that are, you know, aware of price feeds, you need price feeds to be able to do DeFi. It's really a straightforward use case. You know, no real surprise there that we're going to be doing that. On the NFT front, it's really interesting, right? So you've got a lot of major marketplaces. You've got OpenSea and Rarible and all these big hitters. And they really rely on centralized ways of flagging fraud. And so people in those marketplaces have to actually go in and escalate those fraud complaints, right? And one thing that we started out right in the beginning, we saw an opportunity, and this is sort of in the height of the NFT bull run. We said, you know, there's a lot of fraud on OpenSea today. Can we use AI to be able to stop that fraud or at least make it more transparent for people, right? And so what we did was we indexed the content of more than 300 million NFTs, and we labeled that data and vectorized it so that people can actually prevent fraud as an Oracle service in their marketplace minting contracts.
Does that have to do with the original creators? Are you indexing that type of information, or what does that look like?
Exactly. It's pulling the contract address from the original creator. So the first time it was ever on chain, that is being recorded in our database. And that's the real, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And so ultimately we have sort of two batches of data here. We have the image itself and then the metadata, the ownership data, what blockchain it's on, because we do cover multiple blockchains, right? So our index covers Binance Smart Chain, Ethereum, Tezos, Solana. So if you're using this AI Oracle, you're actually getting a read on all of the NFTs that have been minted and also real world IP as well, right? Which is really the place you bridge next. So to kind of go back to the beginning, if you want to prevent somebody from minting fraudulent NFTs in your marketplace, this is a tool that can be added to that minting smart contract to do that. It can also be used as a report. So people can reverse image search their NFT while they're buying. or they can act, you can actually have a report generated every time an NFT is minted. This is sort of consumer protection, right? So now you're going through a marketplace, you see something you like, you click on the report, and then you find out if it existed somewhere else, all in one interface. Yeah. Where you don't have to go and search and try to, you know, because these things are a big risk.
No, that's pretty cool because you look at some of the higher end NFT projects, and once they've already had their day in the sun, there'll be different projects that are dropping the same NFTs on a variety of chains. I always thought that was weird. So you're saying though our RideChain data set would be able to tell if the same NFT is dropping on multiple chains?
Yeah, exactly. And so this protocol is actually called AI Write, right? So,
okay.
So AI Write is actually going to be able to pull all of those, that images into one report. So you can see how many times it's been replicated. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong, right, with me as a content creator releasing my NFTs on multiple chains, right? Because I'm the content owner. If I choose to publish it on different chains, that's my choice. But yep. It's important for consumers to know that, right? Especially if they're being told that they're buying a one of one, or exclusive, they're buying something right. That's exclusive, yep. Right? So I think that that's valuable for that. And of course, you know, just the fraud. Bored Ape Yacht Club's great example, right? If you go onto every NFT website ever, you'll find a Bored Ape Yacht Club somewhere on the platform, right? Or on it on the chain. And there's only one Bored Ape Yacht Club collection. Yeah. Obviously, Yuga's got other collections, but you know, and really this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because NFTs right now, we're talking about it in terms of artwork only, right? Obviously people are starting to do more than that, but how important is authenticity when you start to talk about tokenizing your home as an NFT, or tokenizing legal documents, or tokenizing identification, right? You need to make sure that this isn't happening, that there's no replication or unauthorized usage of those assets, right? You want to know that you're getting the original.
I've seen that as well with different high-end products. So it could be a purse, it could be a pair of shoes. There's validation methods for that type of technology as well as real-world assets. So I like that. What are some other NFT use cases for Ori Chain?
Yeah, absolutely. So on our mainnet right now, we are also doing, so we talked a little bit earlier about the broad use cases of AI in the Web3, right? So we've yeah. also been building on top of the image generation and content generation section, right? So we've got a number of different AI models that are currently published to AIWrite.io, both stable diffusion models, which sort of let you input an image and add a text prompt and be able to transform that image with AI, and pure text to image AI models as well. So right now, if you go out and use Midjourney, which is very popular or something like that, you know, you're paying a subscription, you're paying $30 a month or $40 a month to be able to get a certain limit of content. On Ori Chain, on AI Write specifically, you are paying pennies to be able to mint one of these AI content, AI generated content pieces, right? What's okay. really important about this is that when we started, there has been a longstanding question about inventorship and authorship in the age of AI, right? So our government has said that AI models themselves cannot own copyrights. Which is really interesting. Okay. And just a couple of weeks ago, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a great meeting on the intersection of IP and AI. And the question is, who owns a piece of AI-generated content? Does the person that used the tool own the content? Does the company who created the tool own the content? Those are basically the only two options that they give us. So what we did was we actually created a system for proof of origin for AI-generated media that actually brings that moment of creation on chain. And we have a patent for that system, right? So this is the foundation okay. for creating a copyright on AI generated work, where we're actually taking the human and the AI model provider, and they're sharing ownership of that output. This creates a royalty opportunity for the AI model provider to actually share in that IP, which they've contributed to with their model. So I think that that ends up being very exciting.
If that comes to be, would you still see a subscription aspect to using a service like that? Because if the AI model is going to get royalties off that end result, I think the model itself shouldn't have a subscription fee from my personal perspective.
That's exactly right. Right now on our network, you are actually paying the AI model provider for the usage, and that is going directly to them, right? So you want to use, you're paying a one-time fee. You're not paying a recurring fee. Recurring fees don't work in Web3. And this is something that I believe very deeply, is that Web3 is supposed to be permissionless. You have your assets, you have your contracts. You shouldn't have to deal with sort of pay gating content beyond that momentary payment, right? So if you sold me an NFT and said, you know, you're a part of this community, now you have to pay $10 a month to be a part of this community, that doesn't really work, right? You really can't do that and have that be fully decentralized. Yeah, that's AI Write. AI Write is super, super hype. Now, we also have, you know, we have a couple other projects building with NFTs right now in the ecosystem. One of them is dealing with GameFi. It's called Kauai Islands. It's a GameFi experience. It's an anime metaverse, a super fun game, came out about 2 years ago. Love it. Okay. And then we also have a project building right now called Nestock, which is a real estate tokenization platform that's using a derivative of an NFT protocol that's able to actually capture all of the data that's involved inside of that real estate. So your deed, your ownership, your title, your transaction histories, your taxes, all within that asset itself, which means that we can actually make tokenization more transparent. So those are the most exciting use cases. I know I just talked about a million things here.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to break it down. For the deed aspect, I think that's unique because when you look at all the information that's included when you purchase or sell a house, there are hundreds of documents that you have to include in the processing of that information. You're saying all of that information can be put on chain?
Look, right now we have a big problem with real world asset tokenization in general. Due diligence is still off chain. So somebody wants to sell you an asset on chain, all of the data should be on chain, right? That's the way to do it, to make sure that everybody has access to the same pool of data and that it's all streamlined. So that's the underlying thesis for everything that we're doing here with real-world asset tokenization, is that we need to streamline due diligence, make sure that everybody has that data accessible to them, where they can actually act on it and choose. Now, if you're dealing with real-world asset tokenization and are trading on inflection points, price up, price down, a tenant didn't pay their rent on a property, you know, that all of those are going to be really important trading inflection points where you need that data in real time, as close to real time as possible, right? So thinking about how you can plug in all of these data streams, your rent payments, your taxes, your, you know, city violations, and having those validated by, you know, sort of collective intelligence validation infrastructure, those are the ways that you can actually make it, you know, a feasible way to do this. I love the idea of real world asset tokenization, because right now, you know, as you know, DeFi is a virtual asset space, right? There's a lot of, you know, it's very volatile, it's very risky. But you start bringing real world businesses and real world property on chain, that actually creates an opportunity for DeFi lending that is actually fair and inclusive, but also is providing stable yields to the lenders. So I do think that that's going to be one of the big transformations in this space, is when we start to see cash flow positive assets on chain and being able to prove that people can pay their loans.
So another angle I wanted to cover with you are the DeFi dApps built on Ori chain. Could we do a walkthrough of what that looks like and some of the applications that are being built?
For people that are just interested in the DeFi, we've got three different projects right now that are in different stages of development that are really exciting. I'm going to start with the exchange, and then I'm going to talk about lending, and then I'm going to talk about something that's very experimental and really exciting to me, which is quant trading. So to start out, AuraiDex is basically started as a standard AMM where anybody can come in, create pools, list their pools, and be able to have people trade on AuraiSwap. Since that initial launch, we've launched a number of really awesome features that have just continued to improve that user experience and move towards a CDFi experience, right? A centralized exchange experience in a decentralized environment. So really recently, we launched the alpha of our order book, which is fully decentralized and non-custodial. So people can trade with limit orders in a very safe environment and never have to worry about that centralized entity coming and seizing their tokens or doing something, you know, malicious or irresponsible with their tokens. You know where your tokens are. You can trade with freedom. So that's really exciting for me. Also on that exchange, we also have cross-chain swaps. So without having to manually use that bridge, we have a feature called Universal Swap that allows you to swap between IBC networks, specifically AuraiChain, and EVM networks. So you can swap directly between Aurai and Ethereum or Binance Smart Chain or Tron with one click. And that also is really, really cool. In the near future...
Let me stop you there. Are you able to access this dApp, the cross-chain bridge, within the old wallet?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to go over to the browser section, and it's going to be AuraiDex, so AuraiDex.io. And you'll find the bridge, the universal swap, the order book, the pools, all of that in one place on that site.
Okay, you said there was another new exclusive thing that you guys were working on. Is that what it is?
No, that's just a little alpha for you. But there's another project that's building right now that we've just incubated called NestQuant. And NestQuant is a quant trading platform that allows people to be able to access many decades of financial data and create algorithms and be able to create automated trading strategies. This is really exciting because the theory behind this right here, right now, is that the data is so expensive that only the top 1% can access the amount of data that's necessary to formulate algorithmic strategies and backtest those strategies and have some degree of confidence with that. What this platform is doing is making that data available to everybody so you can come in and train your models FX, equities, on crypto data, and be able to create trading strategies based on this massive pool of data. And all you have to do is contribute your models to the platform in order to access that data.
Moving forward, is there anything else you'd like to discuss about AuraiChain or the different dApps or services that you guys are building out?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the most exciting things that we have going on in the space right now, in the AI space, is regulation, right? And while everybody else in the world is looking at regulation and they're scared, they don't know how they're going to change their business model to be able to account for new regulations, it actually makes us excited, right? Because what we're trying to do is create more transparency for AI models through standardized, trustworthy proofs. And this is one of the things that really is so big about our project. So we currently have a product a service that's currently in development called AI Proof, which is leveraging our AI Oracle's trustworthy proofs to be able to provide some kind of reporting for AI models so that people that are looking to integrate them into their businesses know exactly what they're getting. They can know the security behind that, the explainability of the models. They're able to look at domain specific bias and see if there's any issues with those things and make an educated and informed decision before choosing an AI API to integrate into their business model. Now, obviously, that value is passed all the way down to the consumer. They can actually know that this is a product they can trust. And as the government start to get their act together on regulation, hopefully this streamlines the reporting and disclosure of AI model performance for a lot of people.
Do you see that as the businesses themselves would have to implement this type of technology, or would it be the infrastructure that they build on top of? Do you see it more as off-chain businesses or on-chain businesses that would use this type of technology?
Well, interesting enough, we have this major expectation in the Web3 space that all blockchain projects are going to be audited, right? And there are a number of people that are building AI-based projects in the space right now, and there is no audit for those AI projects. And nobody's looking at those models. Nobody's looking at that safety. So I do think that there is a major benefit for, you know, elevating the transparency and sort of restoring the transparency for AI integrated projects in the Web3 space. On the other side of this, there is a major benefit for Web2 projects and for sort of traditional AI companies. One thing that's really unique about our ecosystem are these decentralized test cases, right? And so you can think of this as crowdsourcing, where everybody is contributing a test to a system to be able to verify that that system actually works. Now, those decentralized test cases, if you scale that correctly, can have so many people contributing that you have a broad diversity of testers and know that your model is reliable, right? So you're not limiting your testing capacity only to your staff's ability or only to that outsourcing company that you might hire. You can actually break that open and have all of those tests available to a very broad international audience of experts if you need experts. And if for some tasks, you know, everybody can participate, right? And not everybody needs to be an expert to know the difference between a dog and a cat. So, you know, if you got an AI model that's trying to, you know, detect the difference between the dog and a cat, anybody can participate in labeling that data and providing, you know, test cases for something like that.
So to close out the interview, could you give the end users a couple different locations or websites where they could learn more information about Ori Chain?
Yeah, absolutely. I always recommend that everybody follow us on Twitter. That's always a great place to start. It's sort of the gateway to everything in the cryptoverse. So head over to Twitter at OriChain. That's O-R-A-I-C-H-A-I-N. If you want to do a deep dive into the ecosystem, I recommend everybody start at ORAI.io. That's Ori.io. From there, you'll be able to go through, watch some videos that give you a high-level overview of the whole ecosystem. Explore dApps, actually create a wallet and start interacting with applications right away. For people that are interested in joining our community, I'm going to pass the link to our Telegram over to Josh so he can throw it in the description below. But you know, we welcome everybody. If you've got an AI idea, you've got a dApp idea, we love ideas and we love supporting entrepreneurs and people that actually want to get out there and make it happen. So we welcome everybody. Don't feel like, you know, oh, I'm not good enough or I don't know enough about AI. Every idea matters. Maybe you're not the person that's going to build the app, but maybe there's somebody in the community that can help you make your idea a reality. We currently have a community pool of, I think, 257,000 tokens that are just waiting there to fund projects like yours. So welcome you into the community. Please join us. Don't be afraid.
All right. Well, this has been Building AI dApps in Web3. Thank you for being here. Have a good day.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great one.